You are about to listen to an episode of The Cypher before it was The Cypher. For our first 75 episodes, we were known as Outside the Lines with Rap Genius, and we had a slightly different format. In all honesty, our production value and sound quality today is much improved from these early episodes. That said, the content is so great that these shows are a valuable part of our archive. If you want more information about our transition, make sure to check out episode 76 with Ritz, which was our first one under the new name. To keep up to date on everything involving The Cypher, visit us online at thecyphershow.com or find us on iTunes. And now, without further ado, here's The Cypher before The Cypher.
Rap Genius.
They put you in the best vibe and you don't even have time to start drama. You be so high. You don't want to start drama. You want to just throw peace signs and chill.
Welcome to Outside the Lines with Rap Genius. I'm your host, Same Old Sean. This week, we sit down with Royalty, the Queen of Memphis, Gangsta Boo. Boo started out as a member of 3-6 Mafia. She was down with them from their debut album, Mystic Styles, in 1995. She left the group in the early 2000s to start a successful solo career that gave such hits as Where Them Dollars At. Just a few years ago, most of the members of the group reformed as Da Mafia 6 to release a successful mixtape and tour. Her latest project is a collaboration with Memphis rapper La Chat called Witch. We talked to Boo about Memphis, 3-6, going solo, and the real story behind her honest and occasionally raunchy songs. As always on Outside the Lines, we bring you a special kind of audio footnote. Every time you hear this sound,
Rap Genius,
go to rapgenius.com and search for OTL69. There, you'll find audio, video, and more information to bring you further outside the lines. And now, here's the Queen of Memphis, Gangsta Boo.
Welcome to Outside the Lines with Rap Genius. I'm Sean. I'm here with the incredible Gangsta Boo. So happy she could finally join us.
That was me clapping for myself.
Nice. Yeah, it's amazing to have the Queen of Memphis in the house.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love being here.
Yeah.
Feels like this is my house. I just can't afford it.
We can't afford it either, so don't worry about it. Yeah, this is what, your third trip here or something?
Yeah, and I wanted it to be my fourth so bad. So I was acting like I've been here like three times already, but I think it's just my third.
Once by yourself, and then once with DJ Paul.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. DJ Paul, he came with me the last time, and now I'm here again this time. Yeah. You know how we do it. I'm in the city, got to stop by.
Yeah, so last time you came through, it was... The Mafia 6 project was about to, I think the single had just come out, the Go Hard.
You know what?
Single.
That is true. And since then, it came out. It was like number 5 on iTunes, and it was doing really, really good that we had to do hard copies. And then we went on tour for like 2 months. I stayed for 33 days of the 2 months. They were off like a week, too, so it wasn't like a full 2 month worth of shows. Mm. But it was at least 46, I think, and I did 33 out of 46.
Wow. And then
straight Sunday through Sunday, no off days. So it's very brutal.
Yeah, that's
it was Sunday to
crazy
Sunday
schedule
on a tour bus, you know, together and, you know, dealing with different personalities. It was definitely fun and turbo rare, but, you know, it was hard.
Yeah. How long had it been since you were together for that long?
That
stretch?
Long, right? Yeah. Never. We've never been around each other like that. And 2 months or 33 days straight, like we would be around each other, like working in the studio every day, but not waking up to each other every day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, going back, you know, there's a lot to talk about, obviously the Witch Project and a whole bunch of stuff and that, but reminded me talking about the group about, like, I was thinking about Mystic Styles, about the first record. And like, in a lot of ways, it's really been influential in a way I think that you guys maybe didn't realize when you're recording it.
Nah, that's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like everybody dark now, everybody mystic, everybody rapping in triplets. And it's cool, but, you know, we did it first. And pretty much facts are just facts. There's no getting around facts.
When you were making it, like, did you know, like, hey, this is something different? This is something that, like, not everyone's doing?
Yeah, I knew that, but as far as what DJ Paul and Juicy J were thinking in their heads as producers, I have no idea. I know that they knew it was different, but I don't think that they knew we were before our time that people would be sounding like we sounded those many years ago.
Rap Genius.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they knew that. Like, I listen to a lot of Marvin Gaye and a lot of old school music, and, you know, a lot of the artists that I listen to are dead, and it's just a shame. I'm like, fuck, I bet they don't even knew that they, you know, impact lives still. Marvin Gaye, for example, he got an album called Hear My Dear, and it was just before his time. He was definitely an artist before his time.
Yeah.
And I like to consider myself like one of those classic, legendary artists.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Hear My Dear, because it's only now that people are starting to be like, you know, Nas and Drake and all these people are shouting out that record as a big influence.
Man, and Jesus. In Memphis, I don't know. It's a soul town. I mean, Al Green, Isaac Hayes, B.B. King. So I was raised up on their music. So I've been listening to it since Yay High. Not even the sample songs, because when my parents would listen to it, I wasn't even doing music then. To think, oh, let's listen to this and sample this. I was just listening to it because where I was from, we called it pimping. Listen to some pimping. And dudes were before their time. So I'm just honored to be a part of a legacy that was before our time.
Yeah. What do you remember about making Mystic Styles?
Us just being young. I was like, I probably was about 15 or 16.
Man, what was I doing at 15?
Skinny. Oh, I'm so mad. No. Yo, man, it was just an amazing time. And I salute my hat off to, I take my hat off to them, Paul and Juicy, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, them some geniuses. They rap geniuses.
And I was thinking about this because, like, Memphis rap as a whole, I feel like now is such a huge influence on the game. It seems like, you know, everyone sounds like they're from Memphis all of a sudden.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's really, really weird, I'm gonna be honest. It's weird. It's insulting. It's insulting. Because, you know, I'm a girl, so I got feminine ways. I would be wanting to lash out, you know, which is cool. Thank God I'm the girl, so they can send me out to lash out at people. It'll look cool. It won't look like, oh, you a dude. Sit down. There's some female shit. No, I'm lashing out. Because sometimes I think it's disrespectful because a lot of times when people do it, they don't pay homage. And it's not necessarily about paying homage. It's just like I'm overhearing the yeah ho sample. Like, yeah ho. I'm so overhearing that sample. We did that on 666 Mafia albums so long ago. And it's so cool because that's what's popping now. But I'm in agreement with you. A lot of people have definitely taken the Memphis swag. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Because nobody paid us no attention.
Right. That's the weird thing. It's like, you know, 95, 96 or whatever when you were first starting out.
Or even in 2000.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people just really started tuning in because now you got the Yo Gotti's. And people don't remember but people must have forgotten the A-Ball and MJG's that was out before us, you know.
Rap G's.
And I think this is something I was wondering about like sort of still being around and still being, you know, in the marketplace or whatever, is like you're sort of up against people who are copying what you did 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. And so the new generation is brand new.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit. I can curse, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, 3-6 Mafia. For instance, Juicy J. A lot of people didn't even know he was with 3-6. And I found that out just by reading interviews. Like, I'll search 3-6 Mafia name, not reading interviews, but on Twitter, I might search 3-6 Mafia name and just to retweet a bunch of fans. And I see a lot, why am I just finding out that Juicy J was in 3-6 Mafia? I never knew that. And it's like, what? Talk about a rock. You've been sleeping under a boulder, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's weird, you know, but it is what it is. It's flattering, to say the least.
Yeah. And one more thing about Memphis is, like, I know you were a huge fan of all kinds of Memphis music growing up, right? From, like, sort of the Al Green and the Stack stuff, like you were saying, to 8Ball and MJG to like probably some Memphis people who are
Skinny
local.
Pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does Memphis music mean to you? Like, what holds it all together?
We definitely are our own people. Just like New York is its own culture. Memphis have a culture from the dance style that we have called gangsta walking or Memphis jooking. And it's J-O-O-K-I-N-G. We just got our own culture and we do embrace it. We like it. We like to say Maine. We like to say, what's up with it? We like to use our lingo. You know, we are Memphis. We like the Grizzlies. We like anything that represents 901.
Rap Genius.
You mentioned dance there for a second. You've had like, you've incorporated that into your shows. I feel like you have a pretty strong connection with it.
Yeah, I love dancing. I can't dance a lick, but I hire some jokers and some gangster walkers to do their thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stiff. I got like a white girl swag. Yeah.
Nice. Why do you feel like that's important to have in your shows?
Just because I honestly feel like Memphis, although we are watched, we're more copied than anything, and it's so much talent in my city, and I have the opportunity to reach out to certain people that some of the talented people can't reach out to, and I just want to help them get a little shine. If it ain't no money, it's a little shine, and you do what you want to do, you know, just hopefully you bring your little camera crew, y'all get on YouTube and put that in your discography.
Yeah.
But I'm just all about helping people from my city, especially if it's something as positive as dancing.
Yeah. And I know you have the Witch Project happening now.
I'm excited. It took a minute, but it's here. It feels kind of surreal. Because me and Chad have been friends for a very long time, at least 20 years as well, if not 20, 18. And we both equally talented. And she got her own lane. You know, Chad definitely got her own lane. Before we leave, I'm actually going to show you that video. So you can like really like see who she is as a person, because stuff that she's doing now, she's done so long ago. But it's so cool. Because she's still being herself. And that's why Chad is respected and still doing shows now to this day. Because people are like, oh, man, there's a girl that drink beer. You know, there's a girl that do this. So working with her on this project was one of the best ideas that I had. For one, we're friends. For two, we compliment each other. For three, we're from Memphis. But we don't sound a lot alike. Sometimes Memphis females come out trying to sound like me or Chad. And no Memphis artists, female-wise, have been able to top the success that me or her have had, especially me, because I've sold albums and went gold and platinum and all that stuff. So I picked her, and we got the Witch Project. Paul gave us the title. The first single we dropped was Bitchy. And I'm just excited, man. It's just something else to do outside of some solo bullshit.
Nice. Paul gave you the group name?
Oh, well, it's not a group name.
Not group name, the album name.
Yeah, he did. We were standing in the kitchen in Atlanta at Drummer Boy House. And me and Chad was talking about this project, as we always do. Oh, what can we name it? Because I'm one of those type of people. I'm not going to work on an album if I don't know the name of it. I have to come up with a name first. I did that with It's Game Involved, a project I put out. It took me 2 years, like literally 2 years. And I was watching YouTube and E-40 said something. And he was like, oh, yeah, when Gangsta Boo spit, It's Game Involved. I was like, God, that's my name. So we was just in the kitchen vibing in Atlanta. And I was like, Paul, give us a name. We need a name. He was like, Witch. I was like, ooh, that's our title. And we ran with it. And we got inspired off the title.
Nice. And Bitchy, which is, you know, the single from it, has Mia X on it.
Yeah,
man. And it has a pretty heavy bounce influence.
Yeah.
And that got me. Yeah. Did you listen to a lot of bounce when you were starting out?
You know, I did a remix to a bounce record. It was called Nasty Bitch. But I remixed it and called it Nasty Trick. You know, just the bounce sound, Manny Fresh, you know, No Limit, Cash Money, of course. I'm friends with all of them, so it was just like a perfect fit. What I wanted to do was something different, like the men doing. You will hear Jay-Z, Rick Ross, and what other heart, Future, or some on the same track. I was like, well, we need a track where it's just all females. They haven't been done before. Most of these bitches jealous of each other. Let me do something with my friends who just so happen to be legendary artists of the South, LaChad and Mia X. And the song is just so dope. And it's honestly dope to me because I'm having out-of-body experiences all the time. And I'm like, yo, I'm on a song with Mia X and Chad. And Paul did the beat, and I pulled that off. So it's cool.
Rap Genius.
Do you see any connections between like Bounce, the kind of stuff you were talking about, and Memphis rap?
Do I see a what?
Like connections between them,
no.
Between the styles?
Completely different.
Yeah?
Yeah, New Orleans got its completely different swag and lingo. They talk completely different. They don't sound like anybody on the planet. And their music is completely different. Yeah, yeah, they have their own island.
Amazing. I wanted to talk about just a couple of my favorite songs of yours.
Like.
Definitely, I'll Be the Other Woman is a great, it's great. It's so unusual, right?
It's so funny, like just to hear you even. I'm so embarrassed. Like, I'm so dark skinned, but I'm blushing. Like, I'm really pink.
But that's like, so few people are straight about that. So for our listeners who don't know, can you tell them what that song is?
I'll Be the Other Woman as long as you give your cash. Pretty much, I was just saying, like, I was writing that song. It was a true story. Kind of, sort of, just with a dip. Kind of like how TV shows, they reenact things. It's a true story, but it's different actors and shit. That's kind of how that song was. And when I wrote it, I was probably like 18. And I was an other woman. That's what I thought. Whatever. And I don't know, man. I just always write shit that go on in my life. That's why a lot of dudes scared to date me. Because they'll end up a part of my life. They have to end up in my raps.
You did, to be fair, write a song called I Faked It Last Night.
With DJ Paul. I mean, yo, I'm a writer, so.
Do exes ever get mad at you? Not for that song in particular, but for, like, being open and writing about stuff that
Well,
happens?
They just be scared to mess with me because they be like, oh, shit, she gonna diss me in a record. Or they might be like, you know, yeah, they scared to do certain, intimidated.
Yeah.
Extremely intimidated. But, you know, it takes a king to deal with queen's attitude. That's not my fault.
Yeah. Another song of yours that I really love, we were talking about it before, is Can I Get Paid? I was talking to a friend of mine, this woman who's from Memphis. And
really?
Yeah, and she, that's one of her favorites. And she, you know, we were talking about it, and I think it's like the most realistic portrait of stripping, of sex work, and pretty much...
Probably was one of the greatest female strip club songs of all time.
Yeah. I mean, what... Can you tell us about how you wrote that and kind of about your relationship to dancers, to sex workers?
Yeah, man. I was in Atlanta a lot, and one of my girlfriends named Smokey. And she was a stripper at the time. And I asked her, what do y'all say in the strip clubs? What's going on in the strip? I would never forget it. I was like, what do y'all say in the strip club nowadays? And she was like, we be saying, get your broke ass out the club if you ain't go tip. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, we be just kicking people out, tell them if they ain't go tip, get the fuck out. And I literally was like, okay, bye. So I wrote, she was in Atlanta at home at the time, and I was in Memphis at Hypnotized Mind Studios, and that's how it came about.
Wow.
Yeah, literally, just like that.
Rap G's.
So you talk to people often you know for inspiration for songs?
I do.
Yeah?
I do.
Nice. Would have been some other great examples of that where you just talked to someone and then they said something and just kind of sparked off a song.
Well, Pimp C inspired my entire, not going to say sound, but just kind of how I think when I write in the studio. Literally, every time I get in the song, in the booth or whatever, and do a song, I literally think about Pimp C and what he would have told me. I don't really want to drop the jewel because it's so potent, rest in peace of Pimp C, but I'll tell you off podcast. But yeah, dude, Pimp C inspired me a lot. I draw inspiration from all kind of people. I draw inspiration from stories like Kurt Cobain and how he was this lost artist that really didn't want to be famous, but he was just so talented. He couldn't help that. He loved to play music and he was just a talent, but it's like, oh shit, I'm so talented, but I didn't want to be this big. I didn't know all this came with it. I draw inspirations from all kinds of weird places, especially in alternative music.
Yeah. I know you've said that a lot in interviews, that you really are more inspired by, like, alternative stuff.
It's so weird. I am. That's why I'm like a, I don't know, my guy friend, he's like, oh, you're like a white girl. I was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because you don't know any black girls that listen to alternative music, or you just expect me because I'm a rapper to listen to all rap. That's not the case. I've been rapping all my life. That's the last thing I want to listen to.
Yeah. And, in fact, on that note, you've been talking a lot lately in interviews and stuff, especially around the Mafia 6, about how your crowd has been a lot of white, a lot of hipsters and stuff like that. Yeah. When did you first notice that happening?
really, to be honest, my whole career. But when I started coming to New York and doing shows in LA, when I can't get booked in Memphis or like a urban club, but I can get booked in LA at a diverse event, that's when it started hitting me like, oh shit, I've been trying to perform for the wrong motherfuckers all this time. And you know what I'm saying? Just like the whole Mafia 6 tour that Paul put together, complete rock venues, was not one urban venue. And I'm not saying I'm against it because I perform wherever the money is. It's just crazy that our crowd is the diverse crowd. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that Yellow Wolf and Eminem helped out a lot.
Sure.
You know, I'll be honest with that. Eminem got a huge following. A lot of people didn't even know who I was, and they became fans after they heard me on that song with him.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Eminem.
What do you think it is about you or 3-6 or whatever that draws that kind of crowd?
Man, so weird. I always compare our fans to wrestling fans. Like, really diehard, Hulk Hogan, just, you know, those type of fans. I have no idea. I honestly don't know. I guess we're gifted, we're special, we got it. I don't know. It's weird because I don't know. I ask myself that too. Because
yeah.
That's not easy to do. You have a lot of older artists or people that came out a long time ago that can't find they don't know what to do. It's kind of like a child star.
Yeah.
Still trying to act. They don't know what role to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're blessed. I'm blessed.
Yeah. I want to take it way, way, way back for a second. I know you grew up in like a musical household. You wrote poetry, growing up, that kind of stuff. When did you first realize and you obviously started rhyming professionally really young. Like, when did you first realize, hey, I'm pretty good at this, you know, at rhyming, at rapping?
Probably when I was like 11 or maybe not like nine, between 9 and 11. And the reason I say that, because I used to always call into radio stations in Memphis trying to get on the radio and talk and rap. Always. It would be me and my cousin. We'd be on the phone. And we'd be like, yo, we need to call to the radio and do some freestyles. And
did it ever work?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I used to talk to my boy Andre, Cash Money, and Stan Bell. Stan Bell used to work for K97, and now he works for, like, I think, I don't know, 101. But, like, they're old school now, but, man. Oh, and it was, like, one more. It was Just Born. It was a couple of them. One of them, last name was Brown or something. It was, like, four DJs in Memphis. Just always put me on the radio.
Nice. You remember any rhymes, any grade school rhymes?
Nah.
Oh, come on.
I know I don't. I can tell you this. My rap name used to be Tinkerbell. Can you believe it? It don't even go together. It's like pork and beans, right? It's crazy. Yeah, Tinkerbell was my rap name. And my cousin, her rap name was Tweety Bird. She's a nurse now in San Francisco.
Amazing.
Yeah, Tweety Bird.
Amazing.
And nowadays, Tweety Bird is kind of like an insult. You know, like a bird, a ratchet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just some of the people you've been working with lately, I want to talk about. Obviously, Drummer Boy. A lot of people know him now, but you were working with him well before most people knew who he was.
He's here now, too, dude. I tried to get him to come here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Drama is, he's probably going to be one of my friends forever. We never fall out. We never had any type of bad vibes. We only had really small disagreements, and it'll be like, why did you get mayo when I told you to get mustard? Super small and petty shit. Nothing ever major. Who am I working with that know what I'm doing? My EP, I'm trying to do more like a, I'm trying to kind of just try some EDM stuff.
Really?
So Brodensky sent me some tracks.
Nice.
He's a really dope, big producer from Paris. And a DJ.
And you worked a lot with Space Ghost Perp, who obviously is one of the new generation who's pretty heavily influenced by your sound.
You know what? And Perp, he disappointed me because it's kind of like he is one of the reasons, honestly, real talk, that got me kind of back. I never left my particular sound. But even when I was like, oh, shit, I just want to do something different because everybody sounded like me, blah, 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 blah. He was sounding like us so much to the point I didn't even get disrespected. I was like, damn. You know, I took it as inspiration. And you know, it's just unfortunate that he's not getting the particular shine that he needs, because he really is talented. To inspire me, you're talented, because I don't get inspired off rap.
Yeah. That reminds me of something. Is like, I feel like maybe right around It's Game Involved, somewhere around there, you started sort of very consciously being like, I'm bringing back the 90s sound.
Yeah, and it was because of him. And that's why Raider Clan was really put on that particular project on a few songs. Yep. Who else am I working with right now? Really nobody. Because I've been so busy working on with DJ Paul and the Mafia 6 stuff. Mm-hmm. And Chet, now that I'm branching off doing my own my EDM type project that I'm thinking about naming it Hood Rave, that's when I'm going to start working with certain producers. And it's not going to be 100% EDM. But I don't mind performing for festivals, 50,000 people.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yeah, man, mind at all. I won't get shot.
I want to take it back for a second to around 2001, when you first left 3-6. I know it was a tumultuous period. You've talked about it a lot. Can you talk about it a little bit? I know you said you wish you were maybe kind of going through some depression. You wish you had more guidance during that period.
Yeah. Because when you're 21, you really are young. You really don't know a lot that you think you may know. You know, pretty much it was just a learning experience. I'm way older than that now, and I look back, and I'd be like, damn, you know, if I would have had more guidance, I would have probably stayed, because, I mean, a few years after that, they won an Oscar, which is, you know, amazing. Good for them, sucks for me, because I didn't get to walk across that stage and have that bragging right even now to this day. Yeah, bitch, I fucking got an Oscar with them. I walked across the stage. You have it. But, you know, I got plaques from back then, and those are still huge accomplishments, so everything is pretty much a learning lesson.
Yeah. That's really great. I guess, like, another thing was just about... the term horrorcore that you've used a lot.
I love that word.
Yeah. What does that mean to you? Where did you first hear it? Like,
I don't know. I guess scary movies. Mm-hmm. I just look at me being an actress that get booked for scary films all the time. You know how Leo DiCaprio seems to always get these Titanic roles, like these old school roles. He always playing like some old school dude from like the 30s or 40s. I don't know, dude. I'm like a scary rapper. And I claim that. I like that. I don't mind not shopping in my raps. You know, shopping for Louis bags and Christian Louboutins. I don't mind wearing Converse and having on a skull mask with a bloody knife. It's fun. It's entertaining, just like all the other shit is.
Yeah. You don't occasionally wonder about, like, oh, maybe I could want to do something else, or...
Well, no, because... The only thing I want to do is EDM, like, you know, like, because I still think it's, like, it will still fit me because it's still a party. And pretty much, it's not like I'm rapping about ghouls and goblins. It's right. Just a dark, but it's a crunk sound. So EDM and rock, you know, stuff like that, that's kind of how I want to keep it. I don't never want to claim to be, a glamour girl. Because I like the option to not being a glamour girl. Mm-hmm. And right now, I feel like I got the best of both worlds, because sometimes I can be a glamour girl. Sometimes I don't have to be. Girls that are 100% glamour in their rhymes, they have to be that shit every day, all day.
Yeah, it seems like it's exhausting.
What you... Inexpensive. Inexpensive, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And very expensive. I'd rather just chill and look like I'm broke.
Yeah. So that reminds me of something that I wanted to get into, which is like when you... first started out, or when 3-6 sort of first really started blowing up, there were a bunch of different lanes for women in rap. You could have, like, there were a bunch who were prominent. They had, you know, different images, different styles. It kind of feels like that's narrowed a lot.
Yeah. Meaning what? What do you mean now?
Just like that, like, there are only a few things I think you can be as a female rapper now kind of coming into the game.
And it sucks for them because, man, they got it hard. The reason I say they, because I don't know. I don't consider myself a female artist. I just consider myself an artist. I've been doing it for so long. I've been doing it longer than half the year. I'm like a Queen Latifah. I just don't look like, you know what I mean? I'm just not as old as her. Yeah. And I'm still so youthful, but literally, I'm pretty much just like that. So I don't consider myself a female rapper. I done rapped on so many good songs with so many great talented men. And most female rappers haven't done that because they're so stuck in that female rapper box where most men are not going to listen to them anyway. They're only going to be played by a female audience. I had everybody listen to me, you know? And I don't understand the box that they're in because I'm not in it. Mm-hmm. It's definitely fucked up, though, for them. Yeah, because you usually got to have a fake ass and, you know, a lot of fake shit going on to make it nowadays. Fake it to make it, what they call it.
Yeah. And something a little sad, not, you know, probably a few months ago, by now, Lord Infamous.
That was
passed.
So crazy.
Yeah. Can you tell us, you know, a little bit about that period, about finding out?
Yeah, I woke up in a really, really great mood. And I hopped on Twitter, like I used to do from my phone. I'm an addict. And I saw a tweet. Somebody tweeted me, was like, please tell me this is not true about Lord Infamous. They said his brother on Facebook said he did. I was like, what? I was like, I don't think it's true. It's like 9 in the morning. I'm in a good mood. I think I might have made some money the night before. I don't know. I was like so happy. And I was like, no, I don't think so. Because, I mean, you know, you hear rumors sometimes that people die and it's not true, you know. And I reached out to a couple people and found out that it was. And it was definitely, it's still hard. It was hard, man. Because he was so cool and he was just so, you know, he had a lot of issues, man. But who don't? And it's real unfortunate. Because it would have never be the same.
Sure. Well, I wanted to ask about him, like his role kind of in the group, both like artistically and personality.
Big. And you don't miss nothing until it's gone. That's the whole thing. It'll never be the same, ever. It can only just be what it is, you know what I'm saying? And it's even more sad because he put the group back together. Yeah, he the one that told Paul that he wanted to do it. They was working on a duo album. And he was like, nah. And me and Lord, I was about to call him Ricky because that's his name. We always kept in touch anyway, even when I wasn't talking to Paul. I just started talking back to Paul maybe in 2012, 2013.
Really?
Probably around when I met you, yeah.
Wow. And you were in touch with
Lord because he was in Memphis. Paul lived in Vegas in L.A. So, you know, I was still coming back to Memphis from Atlanta. You know what I mean? And I never I talked to Koopsta, Crunchy, and Lord mm-hmm. all the time. And you know, Lord was a little legend to me. When I started rapping and trying to get down with 3-6, I used to call Lord Infamous phone rapping to him. And, yeah, dude, it's crazy. I felt like Daz and them losing Tupac or something. Yeah. Pretty crazy. It's surreal. Yeah. But you know what's even more crazier is that his energy is definitely still around. I feel it.
Well, you joked about, you know, literally bringing him with you on tour. You were kind of joking about that. But also, I think in some sense, that's not in a literal sense, but in some sense, that was true, right?
Yeah, because we carried the casket. Like, we had a casket in tribute to him that we traveled with on tour. And we pay a tribute to him. And we had Where's the Bud playing for his fans because that was one of his biggest songs that he had solo. Kind of like Juicy J Slob on My Knob.
Yeah.
Lord Infamous got one of these Where's the Bud. And he did that so long ago. I wasn't even with them then. And so, yeah, man, we bring out the coffin and we have a moment of silence and we play Where's the Bud and, hey, he's there with us.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, we feel his energy. He's just not in a physical form, which probably is a good way because, like I said, he had a lot of demons he was battling.
And do you think the Mafia 6 is going to continue with its current name, current lineup?
You know, man, I think that as Paul, being the leader, I know it just got to be hard on him to deal with so many different personalities, grown people, like we're not little no more. Everybody grown, everybody been doing their own thing. Outside of 3-6, since 3-6 broke up the first time in the early 2000s. So who knows? You know, honestly, who knows? I just know as the leader, he got a lot of decisions to make. And, you know, being the smart guy that he is, he should make a lot of right decisions. But I think that he, you know, need to just run with the torch And if he needs to take some time to mourn, you know, do that. Whatever he want to do, if you want to rearrange the group and have some in, have some out, hey, whatever. Because one thing about it, I know, like, I'm really a strong person, and I do have a mouth, and a lot of times...
You don't say.
Yeah. Got a mouth, you know? I'm just not a yes girl.
Yeah. And
so who knows what he going to do, what his decision may be.
Yeah.
But he's a smart guy, so...
Yeah. And I have to ask, and you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. You've talked about it plenty, but, like, what is there... Is the status... Is there a status of, like, a relationship between you guys and Juicy?
Oh, no. Juicy, cool. Now, you know me, like, when we dropped Six Commandments, I kind of was upset with him because he didn't tweet it. And I said something on the internet and shit, and every blog picked it up. I didn't know that, to be honest. I was like, fuck. I be forgetting I'm famous. I be thinking I'm just, you know... I'm a girl on Twitter. But every blog picked it up. I was like, ooh, I literally put my hands over my mouth. And Paul hit me up. He was like, what you doing? I was like, what? He was like, oh, I got some more news play. Because it was like some other news that he heard about me and I was going through some shit.
Right.
And I was like, what now? He was like, Juicy want to talk to you. I was like, what? He was like, yeah. I was like, I don't want to talk to him. And so anyway... He's like, man, look, y'all could be arguing, y'all 40 years old, you know, 50, 60, 70, go on and talk to him. I hit him up, dude, and it was a conversation long overdue, and we've been cool ever since. I text him after his Grammy performance with Katy Perry, and he texted me right back, told him thanks. I mean, no, told him that he did good. He said thanks, and we talked to each other after Lord passed. So it's pretty cordial.
Good.
Isn't he? I'm not throwing my finger signs at the Juicy J campaign no more. You know, I'm over that. And that's what it's about. Communication is and understanding. Mm-hmm. And he explained his side of the story and why he felt a certain way he felt. I did the same thing with grown people.
Yeah.
Yep, we're out now. We don't have to hang out and be best friends and, you know, come to Christmas parties and all that. But it's really good to be cordial and respect somebody that you have been knowing for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, with the folks in Triple Six, like, you're in a really unique position. Like, not many rap groups last that long.
And you know what's crazy? It's not easy. It's not easy being in a group.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. But it's fun, and it sucks when things don't work out. Like, I think sometime, damn, that sucks, because even if Juicy came back, it would still never be our six of us now. That's the only thing that sucks, and it discouraged me sometimes. I'd be like, it'll never be our six. What's the point? So I can just imagine how Paul felt. That's his blood relative, you know?
Sure. Right, that's his actual brother.
Nephew.
Nephew,
yeah,
okay.
But they grew up so close together. They call each other brothers. But Paul's mama is... No, Paul's sister is Laura's mama.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yep. Okay. Wow. And jumping back to you for a second, like, looking back on everything you've done, like, everything that's, you know, still to come, like, what do you want your legacy to be as an artist? What do you want people to remember about Gangsta Boo?
You know what? I used to just like being misunderstood, but now at this point, I don't even care. So I would like to be known as this misunderstood cool girl. They just wanted everybody to get along, and they just wanted to stay on the best weed because it puts you in the best vibe, and you don't even have time to start drama. You be so high. You don't want to start drama. You want to just throw peace signs and chill. But I don't want to be known as a role model, dude. Honestly, I just want to be known as, damn, Boo was real cool. She was cool as fuck, and she was bumping, and she brung us music, and some of her music really inspire me and help me not kill somebody or help me get over a dude or help me, you know, just anything, because I write all type of songs. So I just want to be looked at when it's all over with as a cool person, because that's really all I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Gangsta Boo, Queen of Memphis.
So fun.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it. Any last things you want our folks to know?
You can get merch off my website at lolamitchell.com. And
she is Miss.com, after all.
I am Miss.com. And when I made that song, Miss.com, I didn't even have a website. I didn't have a lot of stuff. So shout out to Wes Phillips and Fixius Entertainment. They're helping us with the Witch Project. And, you know, he kind of turned me into a little businesswoman. and to help me make money off my brand and my name. So shout out to Team Gangsta Boo. That's it.
That was our talk with Gangsta Boo. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe on iTunes so that you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the better chance we have of continuing to get great guests like Gangsta Boo. Outside the Lines with Rap Genius is created and written by Sean Sotero.
He disappointed me.
The show is produced and engineered by Josh Cross.
And she was a stripper at the time.
Our invaluable intern is Julia Hannafin.
Sunday through Sunday, no off days. So it's very brutal.
Our music is by Psionic.
I'm thinking about naming it Hood Rave.
Join us in 2 weeks when our guest will be the California genius, Ras Kass. We'll see you then, outside the lines.
Julia, okay. Julia may have to dip a little bit through because she's still in college and it's finals week.
Oh.